Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It's I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rachel Lynn Lindsay. How are you?
I am great. I'm still on vacation, so I'm feeling refreshed, revitalized. I've been surrounded by family. I feel good, Van. Thank you for asking.
The judge.
Yes, the judge is here too.
Now, are you in a hotel or are you in somebody's house?
Here, come say hi to my sister Constance. She listens to every episode of the podcast.
Hey!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing fantastic, especially better now that Alice is there. Constance, what are we drinking on?
Doesn't miss a thing.
That's a blue moon.
That's a blue moon. Okay, now when you do the blue moon, do you put like the orange in it?
I do a really good rim job on it.
Wow.
What the?
Oh. You gotta go.
Whoa! Whoa!
We got family showing out. Family showing out.
No, really. No, I take brown sugar. Uh-huh. I rim the glass with agave and then dip it in brown sugar. And then dip it and then drink it.
Let me tell you what today is not. It's not Siblings Day.
It could be. So make sure that the Thought Warriors know this again. You do what now? You take agave. How do you do this? What do you do?
I take a glass and I dip it in agave and kind of go back and forth. And then I dip the glass with agave in brown sugar. And then I drink it. The Blue Moon.
Wow. 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 Yeah. I was on Blue Moon for a while. I had a Blue Moon phase. 2016, I'd say I had a blue moon phase. You guys look so much alike. Go, jump back to the screen, jump back into the screen. Mm-hmm. What the hell is this? Like in vogue? Like look at you guys. You guys look so much alike. The Lindsay girl. So these are all the siblings. There are no more Lindsay siblings. No more.
This is the three of us: oldest, middle, youngest.
Oldest, middle, youngest. And so you were out in LA for a while here, Heather.
That was me.
The youngest.
Yeah. Why'd you leave? Why'd you go back?
It was just time to go, Van. It was time to go. I felt it in my soul.
I kicked her out.
No, that's not what happened. She didn't. But when I came or I left to go back to Atlanta, Brian came.
Ah, Brian kicked you out. That'll be brought up one day. And I came out there to stay with you, and we were having great Lindsay sister time, and you chose that man over me. That'll be brought up.
We can make it.
That'll be brought up.
All right, we got to go. Nice you met the Lindsay sisters.
Very nice to meet you guys. Very nice to meet you guys. Oh,
now
he's playing with Loki.
Something to say when y'all leave.
He's playing with Loki right there.
Oh yeah. He's playing. Alistair, he noticed who you were playing with.
He's got Loki.
He said Loki. You got Loki. Mm-hmm. And Thor's hammer.
Mm-hmm. Loki and Thor's hammer. I got to be honest with you.
What's up? I got the headphones in now.
The headphones work. I got to be real with you. What? That rim job line is the line of 2020. There's no
2021.
Way. 2021. There is no way that she knows the double meaning there.
Yes, she does. She said it on purpose. She goes, she was like, I was waiting for you to catch that. That's why I was like, you got to go. You got to. Constance listens to every episode of Higher Learning.
Wow. I'm glad. Lovely sisters, by the way. A lovely
Thank
group
you.
Of ladies. What does everybody do?
Constance works in, I guess she just started a new job in branding and marketing for a company. Heather works in insurance. And I mean, we know what I do.
Yeah, you're Rachel Lindsay. You work at Extra.
I work at Extra.
Bozeman's a sad dog right now.
What's up with Bozeman?
This is his first experience with a cone.
He got nipped.
Not yet. He had a little rash. He got had a hot spot from a flea bite.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's got the cone on and he doesn't know what's going on. He's bumping into everything. It's very sad. I don't know if I have the wherewithal to keep the cone on him. I'm gonna be honest with you. I just came up there. I gave him several kisses. Like I don't know if I have the wherewithal to keep the cone on him. He looks too sad. It's too hard.
I'll tell you what you do, because I'm the same way. You take it off in the day when you can see him. At night is the only time I put the cone on. Because in the daytime, I can say, nah, stop that. Don't do that. And they'll obey. Bozeman's a good dog. He'll obey. Yeah. But at nighttime, you got to put the cone back on.
Very true.
Oh, poor baby.
It's tough.
Is it allergies or is it a flea, like you said?
They say that it's allergies.
Okay, so you got to get him the allergy shot. Copper has it really bad and was getting the hot spot too. He had one that got infected. Had to put the cone back on. Got to give him the allergy shot.
He got the shot today.
Yeah. That'll be good.
Earlier this morning. We have a jam-packed show. Rachel, what should we start with?
Ooh, do we go hard? Can we start with Biden?
You want to start with Biden? Let's start with Biden. I'm not even going to do this Ron DeSantis thing because this is stupid. But let's start with Biden. Hey, all you college people, guess what? You get to continue to be some broke motherfuckers. Biden said, fuck you. So President Biden is restarting federal student loan payments in February. President Joe Biden still plans to restart federal student loan payments, resisting pressure from some fellow Democrats who continue to call for an extension of coronavirus pandemic relief benefits. We're still assessing the impact of the Omicron variant, but a smooth transition back into repayment is a high priority. We're not just doing it. We're happy to do it, said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki when asked about it recently. Now, borrow balances have effectively been frozen for nearly 2 years. Hadn't really had to pay anything for 2 years. With no payments required on most federal student loans since March 2020. There was an uproar about this, Rachel. An uproar. I don't know what a down roar is. I've never heard of it. But whenever there's been a down roar, this is the opposite. Uproarious. Do you have loans that you're paying off?
I do. I have law school loans. I still have loans. So I'm a, wait, it's a little loud. I can hear the hammer. Okay. All noise in the background is from Thor. Alistair. It's Thor, Loki, and Alistair. Okay.
Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you let Alistair live?
Whoa. Okay, Alistair, they said you can play. They said play.
Let Alistair. What happened to Alistair's face? What happened to his face?
Playing in the shower. He hit his eye on something.
Okay. Alistair's not over there fighting, is he? He's not getting into fights with kids around the school.
Alistair, are you fighting? No, he said fighting.
That's a nice big lump. So when we were kids, we just bumped into shit. I haven't had a lump on my head like that in years.
Well,
I would hope so. And when we were kids, we just always had like a big swelling
something,
of some sort. Anyway,
a cut, yes.
You're paying your loans.
Wait, when you said, hey, when you started talking about this topic, I thought you were going to say, hey, ho, ho, Joe Biden has got to go. I have no idea why. I thought that's where you were going with that. Anyways, yes, I have student loans. I'm one of the people affected by this. But I will say that at the same time, I can afford to pay my student loans. And so I don't want to be too much to complain. Like, I don't want to complain too much about it because the concern is the people who have been deeply impacted by the pandemic and are having to pay back loans when they don't have the means to pay for it. I mean, it has been a real treat that that has been frozen for as long as it has. And now the fact that it's coming, because they're already starting to send the emails. It's like, set up your direct deposit. It's coming back. Do you need to consolidate your loans? You can start doing this. I haven't seen emails like that in years. So now that this is coming back, this is upsetting. And it's particularly upsetting because we didn't expect this to happen. This would be different if we knew, okay, you're going to eventually have to pay your loans back. But the man who is in office is a man who ran on a platform saying he was going to eliminate student debt. He was saying this back in 2020 when he was running for office. And before he got into office, he was talking about eliminating a minimum of $10,000 per borrower. And instead, now we're going to see our loans come back. And the issue is that he ran on a platform saying he was going to have Congress get rid of this. Congress is saying, now you have people in the Democratic Party who are actually turning against him and are condemning the actions or the lack thereof that he isn't eliminating loans. He's blaming it on Congress. people in Congress are saying he has the power to do this with the stroke of a pen under the Higher Education Act. Something I'm not familiar with that. They're also blaming on the fact that under his infrastructure bill, he didn't put something in place to eliminate student debt. So it seems like this is something he just ran on, he used to get people excited and into all of this. And at the end of the day, never acted on that promise. So it's upsetting because I wasn't expecting to pay loans in February 2022. And I'm sure there are other people who weren't as well. And if I was expected to pay them, I expected there to be them to be reduced tremendously.
So that to me is the problem. Joe Biden never really ran on eliminating student debt. There were some people, obviously, in the progressive camp that feels like student loan debt should be wiped out.
Right.
Bailout. You've bailed out everyone else. Why don't you bail out the students? The students who their earning power is being significantly affected by the fact that they have to pay back so many loans.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that you would think that would have decent jobs who could put more money into the economy if they weren't paying off loans just to be able to be qualified for the jobs that now they're paying off loans, mm-hmm. that their paycheck is not paying off the loans. So this is my problem. So Joe Biden never said that he would forgive all student loan debt. He talked about the $10,000 plan.
Minimum.
My thing is minimum. My thing is the plan to forgive loans should have come before the restarting of the payment.
Absolutely.
Felt like he got his priorities mixed up here. The priority, if you want to get federal student loans back on track, you want people paying again, that's fine. But the priority shouldn't be to the federal government. The priority should be to the people who are paying their loans back. Now, if you're not going to forgive all of their loans, you're not going to suspend their loans, you're not going to wipe them clean, that's fine. But you do owe it to the people who voted for you to put them before the federal government getting their money back for people's educations. And there was no plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I've heard. The plan that I've heard is, hey, we're just going to get the loans back started. Anything else that we do as far as the $10,000 forgiveness, that's going to come later on, or that's going to come as some part of the Build Back Better package they get to whenever they get to it. It's not part of the
Better package. He's saying that, Jen said, Psaki, please forgive me if I'm saying her name wrong, said that when a reporter asked her specifically about it, she said he'd be more than happy to do it if a bill was in front of it for him to sign. And then you have Senator Elizabeth Warren saying he has the power to do that under the Higher Education Act, and he's not doing it. He has the power to write it off. He has the power to sign something, the executive order, I believe, to write that off, and he hasn't done it. So I think that's where the, before it was like, oh, he's just not acting on it. Well, now we know he has the power to do it, or he hasn't been calling on Congress to put a bill together to do it. So it's like, what's the hesitation? Why are we not acting on something we promised could be done? I'm not calling on you to eliminate it all, but I would be very much more eager to pay my loans back if I saw them significantly decrease.
Well, so I'll tell you like this. I don't think $10,000 is enough to even start that conversation. I don't.
Per borrower. So you have to realize, like, I have like five.
Oh, five different loans. So it could be potentially be $50,000.
Yeah. Borrower. Yeah. So for me, that would be huge because mine from law school are six figures.
The judge didn't go into his pocket for that, huh?
My parents made me pay for law school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Learn more about the man every single day. I could see that conversation happening right now. Well, Rachel, I think it'll be better for you in a more wholly responsible way, like Daniel when he saw the lion.
Why does my father sound like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Because that's how he talks. Let's be real. That's how he talks. Daniel saw the lion, and it was an obstacle he had to overcome. And that was your loans. That's what he told you. But your loans are like Daniel seeing the lion. You have to overcome them. So look, here's the thing about this entire deal. I think it's fascinating for two reasons. Number one, I think this actually broke some of the people who were, because so every once in a while I'll criticize Joe Biden for something, and then people will kick me dead in my nuts. They'll be like, oh, so you're just down for Trump. You just want the Republicans to take back over. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. There are so many things. By the way, there are things that are worse than people have to pay their loans back. Reproductive rights are things worse than people have to pay their loan back. Their loans back. What did we see? Guns. Things worse than people having to pay their loan back. Loans mm-hmm. back. Those kill. Those kill people. Voting rights. I would say worse than people having to pay their loans back. Okay, but people having to pay their loans back and people being in debt because of student loans is a massive, massive issue. And to me, I believe it's a drag on the American economy. I think the whole structure of college and tuition should be mm-hmm. reexamined if we want to jumpstart the economy. I digress. It's interesting that this issue seemed to be an issue where progressives and people who voted for Joe Biden were united in dissent.
Right.
So this is something that it's okay to be critical about the administration on. Other things, people are like, no, you just want Trump to get reelected. No, I don't want Trump to get reelected. But something like this, to me, is outside of the spirit of liberal politics. I don't see how in any way. And if I'm wrong, I would love for the administration to break it down to me and tell me why it's vital to America to get people back on a payment schedule for their student loans.
Right.
I'd really like the answer to the question. I'm sure there is an answer, but I haven't heard it.
But I think that's the issue, too, is we haven't heard from Biden. You know, like, why is, you make an excellent point. Why is it so necessary to get this started back in February of next year? Why haven't we heard from you on something that you ran on? Then even after you were elected, spoke about again in November 2020. And now we're not hearing from you on why nothing's being done, except we're hearing that it's about to start again. So yeah, I it's interesting because this is something that affects everybody. It doesn't matter which side you're on. Everybody's impacted by student debt. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to not have thousands of dollars a month I had to pay towards my student loans.
Look at me.
Well, brag about it. It must be nice to be in that. But a lot of people are affected by student debt. It's like I'm punished for getting higher education.
I'll be honest with you. Sometimes, you know, I'm walking through the mall and I walk past Cold Stone Creamery. And I'll be like, you know, I don't fucking need any ice cream right now. But I think to myself, fuck. I don't owe Sally Mae shit.
Man.
Why don't you just splurge? And you go over there and they treat the ice cream. You ever been there? They treat the ice cream like pancakes.
Yeah, I don't like that. They slap it down. They beat it down.
They slap it around. They abuse the ice cream. Like Cold Stone, they abuse the ice cream. They're abusive to ice cream at Cold Stone. But for some reason, I like it. I'm like, thank you. I walk out. I look at all the broke motherfuckers. They want some sweets, but they can't afford them because they got to pay back Sally Mae. I'm like, no,
man,
all jokes aside.
Student debt is a real thing.
It is. I know people. Kalika's gone through it. Like she's like, oh, I'm redoing my student debt. So like, how much you got? It's like, I owe them 60. I'm like, God damn, $60,000.
I pretend it's not even there. I just keep on moving with life. And I can afford to pay it off. So I can't even imagine. No,
right,
seriously. I'm just like, don't want to. Why am I going to give you all my money? Nope.
Right.
It's true. Sign me up for 30 years.
Yeah. My dad used to do that. My dad used to have the money to pay a bill. And then the people would call it up and he'd be like, you get it when I give it to you.
That's me.
Okay. When are we going to get this? When I won't.
Yep.
What you going to do about it? You're so damn bad, come take it.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Speaking of Louisiana, rest in peace, Dad. I love you. Speaking of Louisiana, racist judges. Shout out to Gary Chambers, who brought this to my attention. Gary Chambers, a future political leader of Louisiana, at Gary Chambers Jr. on Instagram. Love you, Gary. And I'm very proud of what you're doing with your taking your personal health into consideration too. Love you, Gary. Love Gary Chambers. I saw a video by a woman named Michelle Odinette, who is the Lafayette City Court judge. It was a burglary at her home, apparently. And as they watched the burglary unfold at the home, they decided, her and her family, to give some narration to what they were witnessing on what I presume is their Ring camera light or something like that, Ring camera or whatever. Donnie, could you run for the people, all the thought warriors, right now, the sound of what was happening, what Michelle Odinette was saying as she watched this burglary on the Ring camera?
Mom goes, why are the lights to your
when I pull on? Up in the whip, they be saying, God damn.
Like, why are your lights on? They're like, pull up, pull up.
And mom's yelling, nigger, nigger.
Oh, kid, we have a nigger. It's a nigger. Like a roach.
Okay. Odinette has confirmed that the video was made in her home. It is her voice on the video. She claimed that she had taken a sedative at the time that the video was made and doesn't remember it. Don't give a fuck about that. And she is now taking a leave of absence without pay. This blew up everywhere. Obviously, in the state of Louisiana, it's a very sensitive racial climate down there. So a lot of people have been going crazy. Mm-hmm. You saw the video. I posted it on my gram. Mm-hmm. What did you think when you saw it?
I simply thought, bye, bitch. Gotta go. And I'm not, and at the same time, I'm not surprised. You know, it's, we will continue to see people with high powered positions, with authority, with money, get caught up in their own racism. We don't know what people do behind closed doors. We don't know how they act. We don't know how they congregate with their family and friends until we do, until there's some video evidence, some audio evidence, a picture, something. I'm never shocked when I see this. It's just more of when I see this, though, for the people who are like, you're exaggerating. People aren't like that. The world is getting better. Racism doesn't exist. And then you press play on a video like this. And this is a person who has the authority to put people in jail. Am I right? As a city court judge?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
She has the authority. Her job requires her to be impartial. And you just heard on that video that she is not. So you got to go back and think of every single person that she has been in charge of, sentenced, whatever authority that she has, and know that she is, when it comes to a person who is Black, she has never been impartial, because that is how she thinks of Black people. We're a joke. We are insects. You want to call us out of our name. There's no respect. You don't even talk about us as if we are human beings. And when you see something like this, it's like, how many other people are like this who have power? Elected. She's an elected official. Am I right? Elected right. Into power to have this type of authority. It's disgusting. It's gross. I could care less over the fact that you were medicated and you don't remember. That does not take away the fact that you still did it. You still did those things. And she fessed up to it. So because she was honest about it, they need to get her out of office. They need to completely, like, why is she on a leave of absence? Why hasn't she been kicked out of office yet?
Okay, that's something I'll get to in a second.
Okay.
That's because this is more complicated than I think people understand. I'll say something about it, about the video itself. We once talked about the Mel Gibson
oh my gosh,
statement, the raped by a pack of niggers. Mm-hmm. And I argued that in that sentence, pack is worse than nigger. Okay. So let me tell you what's really chilling here is the roaches comment.
Yep.
And this might be because I am desensitized to the N-word. I could be. Just hear it a lot. Somebody's always fucking up with it. Not that the N-word doesn't signal what's going on in her mind. That on its own would be bad enough, horrible enough to warrant severe action where it's possible. And we'll talk about what's possible in a second. I'll tell you why the roaches thing really bothers me. What do you do to roaches?
Kill them. Stomp on them.
Squash them.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is in front of this judge and she's looking at them and they're black, she sees a roach.
Mm-hmm.
Prison is a pretty effective roach motel where all the roaches go. What would it take for you in your home right now if you saw a roach to actually grant a roach a pass, to let the roach live?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something. If you saw a roach and you were about to kill the roach and the roach started dancing, or the roach started singing, or the roach did something exceptional to make you believe that it was more than a roach, you look at the roach and you'd be like, oh, look at that. Not just a pest, not just vermin, not just something to be destroyed, something that's trying to like steal resources from me, something that's trying to eat my food, something that only comes out in the dark. This is something actually that has value.
Mm-hmm.
You might actually be friends with it. You might actually have like a, like, hey, look at you. I don't know. Like, I would be freaked out that the roach was talking to me. But after a while, I'd be like, I can't kill this roach. This roach is special. But see, all the other roaches that don't have that, they have to die. So when I saw this, I looked at her and I'm thinking, obviously, racism is one thing. But we never talk, but we only talk about racism as this holy, nefarious, terrible thing. And we never talk about what it really is. It's an entry point for dehumanization. Like racism, black people are worse than me. How worse are they? Are they a little bit worse? Meaning, do I deserve a little bit more privilege than them? Or are they roaches?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't share your society with a roach. You don't rehabilitate a roach. You don't give a roach a break. You eliminate and control roaches.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that, I was thinking, what a particularly villainous person to have preside over human life, which is essentially what you do as a judge. Chilling. Very upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on to the conundrum here. She's elected. She can't just be fired. That's a fact. This situation has existed in Louisiana before. There was a judge in Louisiana who went to a party with his wife. And he dressed up as an inmate, paint his face black, put an Afro wig on. It's a judge. Okay. That judge was disciplined by being suspended for a year and a day. And that had to come from the state Supreme Court. So if you're looking for the body that can levy a penalty against Michelle Odinette, this is something that has to go to the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court has to rule on whatever her punishment is going to be. Removing her is incredibly difficult because she wasn't hired. She was elected.
Right.
So everyone out there that's like, fire her, fire her, fire her, she can't just be fired. So I'm saying this right now so that people understand their expectation, so they can actually temper their expectations about what's going to happen here. She can be suspended. She can be censured. Firing is a different story. And if that's going to happen, the pressure has to be on the state Supreme Court to kind of rule on one of their own. Now, I'm not sure what all is in their power to do. But in this particular situation, this is somebody that should never, ever, 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 not just be a judge, should never be allowed to practice law again.
Yeah.
Should never in any way, and I'm being serious, in any way, that type of bias and that type of thinking has no place in the American courtroom. There's no reprieve. There's no nothing. This was a blessing from God that we got to see how she thinks. A blessing from God. No telling how many people, how many people this saved from getting sentences they didn't deserve or treatment that it didn't warrant inside, that they didn't warrant inside the courtroom. I think about the Kyle Rittenhouse, and I'm sorry, I'm going on and on. I think about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I think about the judge in that Kyle Rittenhouse trial and how he was so clearly in the bag for Kyle. I think about situations all over America where this is not has happened, but is happening. And I just wonder. I wonder. But this one, blessed to have gotten this video. She says she wants understanding and forgiveness.
But what are we supposed, like, when people say that, though, Van, what are we supposed to understand? Help me understand. And generally, how I'm supposed to understand what went down in that video. Medication, you being medicated, so like, how often are you medicated? Like, is this how you talk when you're medicated? Have you been medicated when you're on the bench? I don't understand what I'm supposed to take from that. I don't know. Do you understand what I mean?
Like, yeah.
What am I supposed to do? I think it's interesting when you talk about, and I did not know that about the Louisiana Supreme Court. I could see her not being removed because of something you and I both said. You got to go back and look at all her cases at this point. Yeah. If I'm an attorney and I had a client in your court, I automatically want that case reviewed because you've already shown, you can point to that video and show that there is a bias when it comes to this judge and Black people.
Yeah.
And if it's so, to me, there should be a bunch of attorneys who are now want their cases to be reviewed, whether she's removed or not at this point, because you can clearly show that she's not an impartial judge, period.
Yeah. Yeah. Very bad situation. I'm disappointed, but not surprised. I'll never be surprised. I don't like whipping people up into a frenzy on social media. I think that's kind of whack when you spend all your time just triggering Black people. But it's very important for people to understand what was going on down there, because this could be life-saving. This could
very
be life-saving.
True.
Very true. We could save a lot of roaches. You know what I mean? A lot of roaches could be saved from the Roach Motel. We're going to take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
We lost somebody. We lost somebody very important. Rest in peace to Bell Hooks, who is a trailblazing feminist author, critic, and activist. Okay, she was 69. She died at her home, surrounded by family and friends. It is beyond my aptitude to describe how genius of a person Bell Hooks was. I saw a tweet that said something, and it's might seem true to some people. I saw a lady tweet, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who tweeted this, that Bell Hooks was the first black woman that she ever heard refer to herself as a genius. Mm. And that in and of itself was trailblazing and ceiling shattering. But her criticisms on misogyny, on women's sexuality, on patriarchy, so many of those things have been just absolutely central to feminist thought for a long time. So it's very sad to hear about the passing of Bell Hooks. And I just want people to go out and read something by Bell Hooks or explore who she was, because you're going to be smarter after you do it. What did you think about this?
Yeah, you pretty much said everything that I would say. And I saw a tweet, and I think it's true. It's like when you maybe Bell Hooks, this is the first time you heard it, when you saw the RIP trending on Twitter and you didn't understand who Bell Hooks was or what she meant to the feminist movement or how she was very influential in talking about how race and gender and socioeconomic status and all of these things intersect, and you have to understand them all to understand how they impact, you know, us as a race, as a culture, as a society, as feminists. And so I would just say, and this is the tweet that I saw, is if you woke up this morning and you saw Bell Hooks trending, and I'm paraphrasing this, it's okay if you didn't know who she was. Now you can learn who she was by doing the research and understanding the impact that she had on our society. It's okay. It's not anything to be embarrassed about. Take that and use it to learn about her now, because then you're doing yourself a favor and you'll be better for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big news in college football. Mm-hmm. Huge news in college football. Oh, by the way, just before we get off this, I'm going to walk you guys into this. I'm not going to make you do too many Googles. I'm going to give you some the name of a book, which my mom really loved. It's called Ain't I a Woman? Black Women and Feminism. That book came out, I think, in the early 80s. It was a favorite of my mom's. Also, can I say something about Bell Hooks? Mm-hmm. Bell Hooks was... I knew that she was like a completely fearless soul, because she actually even criticized Beyonce.
Okay. She did not know this.
Yeah, she criticized Beyonce. I remember that some years ago, she had some critical words for Beyonce. And I was like,
about what?
The issues of sexuality and different things and stuff. I won't speak for Belle. You guys can go and Google it and you'll see what she's talking about. But I was like, wow. That took a lot of moxie. Criticizing Beyonce is like a cultural sin. People don't do it. By the way, people really get mad when you criticize Beyonce. Let me ask you a question right now. Rest in peace, Bell Hooks, but I want to ask you a question right now, straight up. Mm-hmm. Who has better music?
Oh, gosh.
Just better music, Rihanna or Beyonce? Song for song, better music.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not answering that question.
See?
I'm not. You can answer it. Go ahead. I'm not doing it.
It's Rihanna and it's not close.
I'm not doing it.
It's Rihanna and it's not close.
And by the way, it depends.
And everybody knows it. Everybody knows.
No, because deep anybody, in your heart of hearts, anybody who's in a beehive knows. Is not going to say that. And I just think it depends what your cup of tea is. Because
that's
because
they fans.
It depends what your cup of
song,
tea is.
Rihanna got more bangers than Beyonce. Song for song, Rihanna.
I'm not answering the question.
I'm just saying.
And you, I don't do that. And I don't do that. I answer everything. I'm not doing it. Not today.
Because you
nope.
know.
No. Nope.
Because you know. You know deep down. Deep down, you know. Beyonce is an amazing cultural icon. Changed the game forever. If we just doing bangers, who got more bangers? Who got that ugh? Who got that ugh? Rihanna got Beyonce. It's a true story.
Mm-mm, all right. Now
to the world of college football. Early signing day was yesterday. How did Texas do?
I don't even know. I'm on vacation.
They fucking did great. I'll tell you.
I'm on vacation. Fantastic.
They did really well is how they did. They did like super amazing. They're doing their thing.
Wait,
shout out to Texas.
Didn't signing day used to be in February?
This is the early signing period.
Okay.
So there's two signing periods. You can sign early.
I know you can sign early, but I thought the only national signing day was in February.
No.
My bad.
Missed it. Early signing period. You can sign early. So you can sign early here. LSU picked up a couple of recruits. Shout out to Jordan Allen, who came to LSU. Shout out to Walker Howard, who came to LSU. Shout out to all of these kids who decided to come and be Tigers. Shout out to Emory Jones. Shout out to Will Campbell. Shout out to all of these kids that decided to come and be Tigers. Shout out to Miles Brennan for not transferring.
Y'all got Emory Jones?
Yeah, Emory Jones is an offensive lineman from Catholic High in Baton Rouge. I don't think I know who you're talking about. You're talking about the Florida quarterback?
I'm totally talking about the Florida quarterback. I was like, wait, what? His last name isn't even Jones. I just know it's Emory. I was like, wait, what? My bad.
No. We got this Emory Jones is an offensive lineman at Catholic High in Baton Rouge. He can play all over the offensive line.
Oh, wait, no, his name is Emory Jones. Okay, I'm not crazy. That's why I was like, wait, he is going pro. That's why I was like, what?
Right, nah. I'm passing up the NFL for LSU. He had an up and down season, though.
I know. I told Emory Brian, Jones, I go, Brian, Emory Jones is going pro. He goes, good.
Yeah. Well, they got Anthony Richardson, who is woohoo, toasty. That's a good player. All right, but the biggest news from signing day wasn't what happened at LSU. It wasn't Texas A&M paying everybody $1 million to come play college football. It wasn't any of that stuff. It was Travis Hunter, who some have rated as the number one cornerback in all of college football. Not just the number one cornerback, but the number one player. Some people have him ranked as. He's been committed to Florida State University for a couple of years. Now, he is no longer going to Florida State. He flipped to Jackson State University, which is an HBCU located in Jackson, Mississippi. We're talking about the SWAC. He flipped from Florida State to Jackson State University, a school that is headed up by Florida State alumnus, maybe the best Florida State college football player of all time, Deion Sanders. I'm sorry, Charlie Ward. Deion Sanders, okay? This is a seismic occurrence in college football to have a player of that caliber, a composite five-star, number one player in the country, go to an HBCU. I never thought that you'd see anything like that.
I love it. I love every bit of it. And no, I did not go to HBCU, but it doesn't mean I can't root for what's happening. I love what Deion Sanders is doing since he committed to being coach back in 2020 of Jackson State, or the football coach of Jackson State. He has been an advocate for increasing recognition when it comes to HBCUs in their sports department. He has brought awareness to the lack of facilities, to the lack of equipment, all these things. And because he can, he really is making a change. And I love it. I love to see it. But you say you shocked and you never thought this would happen. I'm going to also say what I think is a big driving force to this. And this is not to take away from Deion and who he is and what he's bringing to this program, because he's doing a phenomenal job at recruiting and marketing and branding and all of that. The fact that NCAA players can now make money. The game has changed. The game has changed because I don't need necessarily your big football program and all that comes with it and those under the table handshakes. I can make my own money. If I'm as good as I am, as I believe I am, and I'm ranked a certain way coming out of high school, I can make the money and go to whatever program I want to. Like Travis Hunter being ranked number one on several people's lists, he's set. He's good. And you know what else I love about this is this is how it used to be. Right? You used to have top players who used to go to HBCUs, and somewhere along the years, the message got lost and people felt like the only way to make it was to go to a top football program school. When you think about like a David Deacon Jones or a Jerry Rice or a Cornell Green or a Doug Williams or a Walter Payton, you know what I mean? These people went
to- Well, those guys became amazing players.
But they they came from HBCUs is my point. I'm not saying you had to be number one, but going to an HBCU did not hold you back. And I feel like somehow...
Oh, no, it hasn't. The HBCUs have turned out a lot of great
I know,
NFL.
But I feel like as a general consensus, people feel like if I'm ranked number one, I got to go to a top football program, a top football school. And you don't necessarily have to do that to be great, as history has showed us. So I think it's phenomenal what he's doing. And I hope it sets the path for more people and it brings more awareness, recognition, and money to HBCUs.
So this is what I'll say about that. So there's the NIL deal is also, there's rumors that Travis Hunter may have like a Barstool NIL deal. You know, Deion Sanders has a podcast with Barstool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if he's making tremendous money by going to Jackson State, you're right. A lot of players are going to follow the money, forget about it. But there was something to be said. And this is the thing about HBCUs. This is why this is so important and also why this is so groundbreaking. If you are a top player, it wasn't that you didn't go to an HBCU because the reason to go to a bigger school, there were myriad reasons. Number one, facilities, okay? Strength and conditioning, the level of coaching that you might get. This is not to besmirch HBCUs. LSU has a locker room that costs $28 million. The endowment of the school, the HBCU that I went to, the endowment of the school is $9 million. So the LSU locker room is $28 million. That's the type of inequality that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go to a place, you want the best of everything, right? You want the best sports and nutrition. You want the best coaching with all of these. Then you would go to a school that has more facilities because it's your end goal to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. Here at Jackson State, that's not really a problem because this guy's playing wide receiver slash corner and he's got Deion Sanders there. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be anybody who's going to be able to coach him up to be a shutdown or to play a little offense at the same time better than Deion Sanders. So he's not really losing at all. And when you factor in the NIL money that might be there, he's fine. What I would say is the reason why this is so important is because one of the reasons that these HBCUs and these other schools don't have more money for facilities and don't have more money for stuff like that and aren't on TV as much is because they can't get the players.
Right.
So if a player leaves and is the number one recruit in Baton Rouge and he's going to go to LSU, and when he goes to LSU, he's going to be guaranteed to play every single Saturday on national television, right? His games are going to be carried either on CBS if he's the main game, or on ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPNU if it's a lesser opponent. There's going to be a huge primetime game against Bama, against Ole Miss, against all of those people where everyone's going to get to see him. You're going to get a chance to be a national star.
Sure.
And if you're going to a SWAC school or a MEAC school or any other black college conference, they're going to have to search to find you. Unless you are unbelievably outstanding in the vein of a Steve McNair, mm-hmm, or somebody like that. However, I can guarantee you one thing. They were already on TV a lot more because of Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Jackson State, every game now, you will be able to find it.
Yep.
You will be able to find every single Jackson State game on your dial. That's more money. Yep. It's more money for the conference. It's more money for the school. The school can then take that money, upgrade itself, not just the sports program, but the schools itself. So if the NIL, which has cost LSU a couple of players, which is going to cost a lot of people a lot of players, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If NIL, through sponsorships and other things, can get black kids, top flight athletes in basketball and football to go to HBCUs, that's amazing. That's amazing for me.
Yep.
That is amazing for me. Now, one thing I have to do real quick is I have to look here at the Florida State message board.
Okay. Did you see the video?
Which video?
Of him announcing that he was
going? I
did
see what he did.
You got to be hurt if you're a fan, an alum, or a student at Florida State. The way he threw that Florida State hat off his head, I felt that.
I'm looking at it right now. This is the name of some of the topics there on the Florida State warchant.com. Y'all shouldn't be warchanting. Serves you right. Serves you right. You shouldn't be warchanting. Stop with the chop. Serves you right. These are some of the topics. Does Deion hate FSU? I'm so pissed. Today we witnessed a murder. This is another one. Please stop creating threads about Deion and Hunter. Is Deion Sanders a traitor?
That this is what makes it worse, because he's an alum. That's what makes it worse. Y'all, he was committed to Florida State for 2 years. Two years.
Oh my God.
And here comes Deion. Just right. That quickly can snatch him up.
And here's another thing. Certain states have different name, image, and likeness rules. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a state where you can't get the name and image and likeness back, you might just flip to a school in Mississippi where you can get it. So Florida has different rules, different laws on the NIL, so it's tough. I could read this all day. Hunter's 15 minutes of fame will be up. Deion only makes $300,000 a year at Jackson State.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, so look, Deion is a genius, but at what cost? So this is,
I'm
this
excited.
Is, this is very fun.
Shout out to Dennis Thurman, family friend, D coordinator at Jackson State. I'm going really? To a game. Yeah.
That be everything being said.
Let's go to a game. I'll go to a game.
Everything, hold on. I'm happy for Jackson State, but fuck Jackson State. Just.
I'm sorry, what?
Southern University Jaguars. I don't give a fuck.
Oh,
I'm happy for Deion.
People forget that for about Travis you because you talk so much about LSU.
Yeah, I talk about, but it's we don't talk HBCU stuff, and that's probably on me. I don't give a fuck about what happens. I'm just glad the boy didn't go to Grambling. Had he gone to Grambling, if this would have happened at Grambling, I'd have been on some fuck your life, bing bong type shit. I'd have been so pissed off. I've been pissed worse than anything that's ever happened with LSU had he gone to Grambling. So shout out to my dad played ball over at Southern. I love Southern University. Shout out to the fucking Jaguars. We need to flip one. I wouldn't be mad. We need to flip a couple of people. Or maybe. But Deion, I'll tell you what, this also tells me eventually Deion Sanders ends up the head coach at Florida State. So Norville and the guys that are over there right now, you better start doing a hell of a job because more than anything to me, this was a resume builder for Deion. Eventually, he wants to coach Florida State. But who knows? Maybe he stays at Jackson State and he completely changes things. Meg Thee Stallion has a Netflix deal. She's teaming up with Netflix. It's a no-brainer, Tracy Pacosta said. Meg is multi-talented. It's a no-brainer. She's a multi-talented creative force who has consistently made her mark on culture. And so now she has a deal. This is in light of some very nasty back and forth out there in the public about differing accounts of what happened that night with Meg and Tori. Seems to be causing a gender war on social media. Have you seen this, Rachel?
What I saw were the comments under your post. There's a gender war just straight up in your post. Forget what is happening in the whole Twitter sphere. I have been accused of hating black men.
Yeah, they said that.
I have been accused of, like, people are like, well, at least she admitted that it's illogical. I mean, people really think because I have chosen to believe Megan, in light of even more, as a judge has now denied Tory Lanez, whatever he had, and I didn't even read it fully, but whatever he had tried to file to get the case dismissed or whatever, it's moving forward is the point. We didn't even know that was going to be discussed the day that we started talking about it, but people are really accusing me of all of a sudden I hate men because I'm choosing to believe a woman who said she was shot in the foot by this man. And yes, I'm saying regardless, because as somebody, thank you, politely pointed out in the comment section, just because you're proven, you are found not guilty, does not mean that you did not commit the crime. It just means, yeah, you are proven not guilty. That's what that means. And you can give example after example of people who have been found not guilty, but I think we can all pretty much assume that they were.
Let's play this game. Give me an example.
OJ.
OJ. Okay, so let's play this game out just for devil's advocacy. Going into the OJ trial, if you said, I believe the prosecution and there's really nothing in the trial that can stop me from believing that OJ that OJ did or didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that would sit with people? Because what people are saying is this.
Well, who am I speaking? Am I speaking as Rachel, just a citizen?
Well, you're speaking as Rachel, just a citizen. Okay. Sure. So this is what I would say. I believe Meg Thee Stallion. I believe that she was shot by Tory Lanez. I believe that. But there are definitely things that could happen that can make me not believe it.
And I said I said it would have to be that he wasn't even there. You'd have to prove to me that he was not there.
Well, see, that's where we disagree. So there are three people in that car.
Correct.
Right? There are three people in that car. Meg seems to know who shot her. If mm-hmm. she knows who shot her, first of all, this has nothing to do with Meg Thee Stallion. Anybody that says, hey, I got shot, Johnny shot me, I'm going to be mm-hmm. like, all right, well, I pretty much believe you that Johnny shot you, unless there's a reason not to believe you.
Right.
But there's still a court trial to go on, right? Mm-hmm. What if it turns out that there was gunshot residue on her friend's hand and no gunshot residue on Tory Lanez's hand? What if it turns out that the friend had the gun? There are things that could happen. There are things that could come up, and people compare it to George Zimmerman. The George Zimmerman situation is different because we know that Trayvon Martin is dead. So because we know that Trayvon Martin is dead, we know that George Zimmerman killed him. The only thing left to negotiate there or to I guess find out is why it happened. And then the why is the reason why. A lot of times when we talk about these situations, it's actually the why that we're talking about. We know Derek Chauvin choked out George Floyd. The question is it murder? We know that the cops choked out Eric Garner. Sure. The question is it murder? And so in this situation, even though I believe that Meg Thee Stallion, when she says that Tory Lanez shot her, it could certainly not be true, or it could come out that she doesn't even really know who shot her. You know what I mean? So, like, there are certainly things that could happen that could change my mind. I'm not like it like you know what I mean?
I guess feel like if there was gun residue on the friend's hand, she would already be charged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well,
that's what Tory Lanez's lawyer says that, but that's what Tory Lanez's lawyer is supposed to say.
Like, she would be charged because that means that they tested her hands for it. So, you know what I mean? Like, why is she not charged? If that's the case, if she's the one who has the gun residue, then why is she not charged and he's not? Like, that to me is just something that's being thrown out there.
You know, another reason why I believe Meg Thee Stallion? Another reason why I believe Meg Thee Stallion is because I could be wrong, but I'm not sure that I've ever heard Tory Lanez come out and be like, yo, I didn't do this.
He hasn't said that.
I've heard him say, don't believe everything you read.
The truth will come out.
The truth will come out.
Yeah.
All of this. But just straight up, I did not shoot her.
Right.
Like, I swear to God, because I'll be honest with you. This might be not smart legally or whatever. If somebody says something like that to me, I go Instagram live. Yo, straight up, never did that.
Right.
Never did that. You guys will find out what's happened. But she thinks it was me. It wasn't me.
Listen, he did it. And all you people talking about, I hate black men. Like, seriously, fuck you. Like, a big fuck you. Because, one, I do a podcast with a black man. My daddy is a black man. And the simple fact that I'm holding a black man accountable for what I think he did, and I'm choosing to believe a black woman when so many people were so quick to question her story, doesn't mean that I generally hate black men. I think that's so dumb and stupid. You want to call what I said illogical? Fine. Say it's illogical because I said it in a court of law, even if he is found not guilty, I'm choosing to believe her. Fine. I admit that. But don't then jump to, ooh, Rachel hates black men. Like, that's like the dumbest thing that you could possibly say. Come after what I said. Don't attack me personally as hating black men. And I don't even understand why this has to be. This is going back to the gender war, which is why we started talking about this in the first place. I don't understand why this has to be a gender issue.
I think I know. By the way.
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
By the way, Meg Thee Stallion's lawyers definitely have claimed or insinuated that there was gunshot residue found on Tory Lanez's hands. To me, if there is, whatever, like, he's done. To me, he's done anyway. I don't think he's going to get past this no matter what. But as far as the how the court will play out, it, you know, there's all of these things are going to have to be taken into consideration. This is what I'll say. I want to do something here.
Okay.
I'll see if you're down for this. I wanted to do this on the red pill. We never got around to doing it. But recently, I visited Spotify Studios, downtown Los Angeles. Okay. Remember we went there and we taped?
Yes.
I saw more of the space. And there is a space in there where you can record. And it's like a bigger space. There's a couch, a couple of chairs, and it's all set up for podcasting.
And they didn't have us in it?
No, because we didn't need it. Because it's like a lot bigger, right?
Okay.
It's like a whole living room set with stuff. It's an amazing place down there. And they have a round table with a bunch of mics. You can fit more people in there. I am proposing that we do something that I wanted to do on the red pill because there was under a post that I put, black men and black women were just going at it. I propose that we'd have a special event, a special podcast, a conversation between black men and black women. And what we should do is we should take, this is random people, three people that have strong opinions about black men who are black women and three black women who have strong opinions about black men, whatever. And we should have a conversation about why there seems to be almost a latent and vicious distrust and animus that I see on social media. It probably doesn't exist in real life, but any of the people that had those strong conversations, I just wanted to get them together and facilitated by us. We have a podcast where we actually talk to them and we hash some of this stuff out because obviously black men, and I don't know why they would feel this way. A lot of the black men that were under the post, they feel like they're under attack and they feel like black women are a part of the attack. And obviously black women, I'm sorry, fellas, with good reason, feel like they're under attack from black men. And so rather than us volley it back and forth when we're on the same side on a lot of this stuff, I think it would be interesting. And it's something that I wanted to do then, and I put it out there. I was trying to get it done, but we didn't have sort of the capability for it to actually do something where we dedicate an entire podcast, we break it up into different issues, and we talk on them for however long it goes, and then we put it out to the people. Would you be down for something like that, Rich?
I'm totally down for that as long as we have specific topics to talk about. I don't want just a free-for-all of, like, you go. Like, I think we should propose certain topics, maybe put it out on social, however we do it, and we cover certain things. But let me just say this. Black man, Tory Lanez is not the hill you need to die on. If you feel like you're under attack, that's okay that you feel that way, and I would love to hear exactly why you feel that, especially if you feel like it is coming from us black women. But Tory Lanez is not the reason you need to be, you know, asserting those feelings at all. That's all I want to say about that. But I love dialogue like this. I love a back and forth. Let's do it. Let's have this conversation. Let's figure out why an issue like this to me, which there should be no questions asked. She said it happened. Let's see what happens in court. I don't understand why this has to turn into a bigger issue.
Now, we disagree about that.
About what?
She said it happened. So there's nothing. So that's
No. I'm just saying, like, why does it have to come to this whole gender thing of you feeling attacked and black women? That's what I'm saying. I'm saying she said it happened. She says she was shot. I am choosing to believe she was shot. Now I've taken it a step further and I expressed that on the last podcast. But I'm just saying, why are we having a back and forth of men feeling attacked? That's why I'm saying this isn't the situation where we need to talk about it. And hopefully the situation where we can talk about it is in a room on a podcast talking about certain issues of why black men feel attacked or why black women feel like they aren't respected and treated a certain way by black men. I got a couple of issues I can talk about, especially when I've been told certain things coming up about the way black women are, the way we are as black women. You know what I mean? I'm sure men can say the same thing. So yeah, let's do it. Done.
Do you, as a black woman, do you feel valued and appreciated by black men?
Sometimes, and sometimes I don't. And I think they would say the same thing.
I don't know how they could. I'll be honest with you. I'm sorry. I understand the fellas, you know, I was with your side on the barbershop shit. You know, I'm with you. You know, the Tory Lanez shit is different. I mean, it's
so different.
You have it. It's different, whatever. I have a hard time understanding how black men would feel not valued and not protected and not supported by black women. That's kind of nuts. If anything, I keep it all the way real with you. If anything, black men should feel not valued, not protected, and unsafe with black men. If anything, black women, I'm just keeping it gangster. Like, it's like, I understand that sometimes it's hard and sometimes we can be hard on each other. But if you really broaden it out, there's just not a lot of reason for black men to feel unsupported by black ladies. No, I'm sure that you might have a situation, and we could talk about it. I'm sure that you might have a situation with your baby's mom or, you know, with whomever or whatever. You feel like you're not. I remember there was this one meme that was going around. This is maybe the most sensitive meme that's ever existed. And it was a picture of Odell Beckham Jr., Kofi from, you know that guy from Queen Sugar?
Kofi.
It was Odell Beckham
now
Jr.
Now insecure.
Now insecure. Mm-hmm. Kofi. Fucking Michael B. Jordan. I think maybe John David Washington, Gervonta Rhodes. And it was a meme and it said.
Wait, who was the first person? Odell Beckham.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. So it was like all of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. I might be missing some guys too. And it was like, it said, when black women say they love black men, they really mean these guys. And I thought, yo, shout out to that meme. I thought the dude that took the time to download all of those pictures, put them together in a collage, then write that shit, save that shit, then post that shit has got to be living in a world of hurt. Like, I'm gonna show these bitches. Like, got to be living in a world of hurt. Like full incel.
So funny.
Like, full incel. He's got to be. I was like, God damn. I looked at it. I was like, oh, that's funny. But God damn, fam, you went through a lot to get your shit off by the fact that you feel like black women don't think that you're attractive.
A woman could make that same post about certain black women.
Like who? Who are the black women? Who are they?
Hallie?
Mm-hmm. Beyonce?
Carrie. Washington.
Who?
Beyonce, really? Yes. Beyonce.
I'm not saying Carrie Washington ain't gorgeous, but I don't hear niggas talk about Rihanna, like Carrie Washington.
Rihanna. Tracee Ellis Ross.
Right. Ooh, Tracee Ellis Ross. Yeah. You feel like they get all of the props.
I'm 100% forgetting people. Obviously, like you said, you forgot men off the list, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like black women could do the same thing. When you say you like black women, this is who you're talking about.
I'm trying to look up the meme right now.
Zendaya.
I've never heard a black man be like, you're like, Zendaya is the hottest shit in the world.
People love Zendaya. Maybe it's not black man. Maybe it's not.
She's
gorgeous, but I feel like it is. I feel like people love her. I really do.
She is amazingly talented, like so talented. So talented and beautiful. But I've never heard anybody be like, yo, man, this is Zendaya. But I could see that they would say that. Gorgeous. She's like a little baby though. She's like a little kid. I put her in the same realm as Chloe. They're like,
not the way she's walking this red carpet.
She's doing her thing. Yeah. She's doing her thing. She was great in Spider-Man. I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah, it was really good. It was great in Spider-Man. All right. There's somebody that we need to say prayers for. Somebody's asking for our help. He's asking for our prayers, asking for our gentle feelings. His name is Miles Cosgrove, and he is one of the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. I have never been so really nigga in my life. I normally don't do this. I'm not down for name calling. Miles Cosgrove. Go fuck yourself fuck your mom, fuck anyone who it's possible for you to fuck, if that means getting the hell out of our motherfucking face. I couldn't give a frog's fat ass how tough your life is. He says it's traumatic. He says it's traumatic for everyone. He says that he's had to move. I wouldn't give a fuck if he had to move to the moon. When you move with your family, you're moving with people mm-hmm. who you can touch mm-hmm. and hug and laugh with. This is one of the most offensive things. Nobody can't touch and love and laugh with Breonna Taylor. She's gone forever. Never get to see her again. Ever. Because of you. I almost feel played.
Because?
I said this on, that he would even put this out there. I feel played that you would even think.
Man.
Not only him. If I don't even want to hear from none of you niggas, it's like, yo, no. Live and be haunted in perpetuity.
Man.
For what it is that you did.
Man.
What?
Why are you surprised that this even came out? Of course this man feels this way. This is a man who doesn't think he did anything wrong. This
the
is
department
a man-
disowned me. It's horribly tragic. Once again, my feelings and concerns are almost secondary. Almost secondary?
This is a man almost who stands secondary. By what he did.
My feelings and concerns are almost secondary. I've had to read almost.
Van, did you think
nigga,
that all of a sudden-
you don't have no fucking feelings.
Did you think all of a sudden he became remorseful for what he did? No, this is a man who wants people. He pities himself. He feels sorry for himself. He feels as if he did nothing wrong. He feels like he was justified and he was doing things in the confines of the duty of his job. He does not think he deserves any backlash, any hate, any whatever is happening to him. This to me is when I saw this, I was like, okay, sounds about right. This sounds exactly what I would expect for a man who did murder her to feel. Period. I'm not surprised by this at all. I'm not saying it's right, but this doesn't shock me that he wants us to feel sorry for him at all. And for some reason, actually thinks by speaking out on it, we actually will. At the end of the day, you are still walking this earth, your children, as you mentioned as well, your family, you're still walking this earth, living, taking breath every single day. And the day goes by, the Breonna Taylor cannot. She is no longer here. She is no longer with us. And her life was unjustly taken away from her. And you want us to feel sorry for you. This falls right in line with the man who pulled the trigger when he came into her house.
Word up. And I want to tell Miles something real quick. Miles, I want to talk to you real quick. I know for you, Breonna Taylor is just a thing that happened. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
For you, Miles Cosgrove, police officer, Breonna Taylor is just a thing. It's a thing that happened to you. For us, and for a lot of people, millions of people, dare I say billions of people, Breonna Taylor is an actual human being. And because she's an actual human being, and not just a thing that happened, not just an incident, not just a court case, not just a call, not just something that went wrong, she's a person, we will forever remember her. And forever remembering her, part of that, part of forever remembering Breonna Taylor, means forever remembering the person or persons that took her life. That means forever remembering Attorney General Daniel Cameron and his reluctance to move forward in giving you guys what you really deserved. It means forever remembering exactly what happened. They're always telling us to forgive shit. They don't forgive the people that fucked over them.
Right.
They never forgive. Remember the Alamo. Remember 9/11. Remember Pearl Harbor. Anytime the white American power establishment is attacked, their motto is never forget. Anytime it happens to us, their motto is, I was on drugs. Please forgive me. I've had to move. I couldn't give less than a fuck. I wish there was somebody for me to beat up right now. I couldn't give less than a fuck how hard your life is.
Yeah.
I hope you twist your ankle. I hope you eat some bad dairy. I hope you eat some bad seafood. I hope you get audited. I hope all the bad things for you. I'm sorry, Jesus. I do. I don't take it back. I don't take it back. I'm irrationally mad about it. And so to me, when I read this, I'm like, yo, this motherfucker's really playing with us. They really playing with us.
This is who they are. They're not playing with us. This is who, and we knew this. This, I'm telling you, don't think this is the last time that you're going to hear from him or the other two officers involved at all. This is right in line with who they are. As annoying, as upsetting, as outrageous as it is, this is who these people are. These are the same type of people who would pull the trigger and come into that place and kill and murder her and then stand by that as if it was justified.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Tay Diggs is on TikTok.
Have you seen it?
I have.
He's your friend.
Stop playing with Tay. Tay the man.
I do love Tay. I do. Every time I see him on a red carpet, he is so nice. He comes over and talks. I love him on TikTok. I love it.
So Tay's nice to you on the red carpet, huh?
Stop. Yes.
I bet he is.
Stop.
I know. I bet he is. I know my guy. I know my guy. I bet he is. Hold on for a second. Let me look at.
I hope if you hit him up right now, I hope that you stop him from doing the TikTok.
Why? Why would I stop him from doing
TikTok? No, like I hope you interrupt him. I thought you were going to call him, and I hope he's just like in the middle of doing a TikTok.
No, I'm not going to call him and he's in the middle of doing a TikTok. Let me tell you something. Tay Diggs is the man. Okay? He is the man. And the reality is that he is amazingly talented. Tay can sing, Tay can dance, Tay can act, Tay can act dramatic, Tay can act funny. Tay mm-hmm. is the man. Tay, to me, as much success as Tay has had, and he's had number one movies, he's had big TV shows, he's been in hood classics, he's been in drama, he was in Rent. As much success that he has had, he is still underappreciated by the culture. Tay Diggs is still underappreciated.
Why do you think that is?
I have some thoughts. But I don't want to discuss those because I'm big
That's
up.
That's why I asked you.
Like, I have some thoughts. But there's also rumors that he's dating April Jones. You see that? What? They were sitting out together. The rumors that he's dating April. I have no confirmation. I don't know if that's true at all.
Okay.
But me and Tay have talked about it before. There's some reasons. But look, he's himself. He's who he is.
I got no problems with Tay Diggs. None.
I see a runner. Well, you can't. You can't.
I was really hoping you wouldn't do that. I was really hoping you wouldn't do that.
What you gonna get on the floor? You guys should probably be on the same text thread. All right.
There's a difference.
Oh, there's a difference. I know.
There's a difference.
I know. But shout out to Tay. Tay is my man. Great guy, by the way. Very kind man. Let's go ahead and do mailbag. Bring it in. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
RBA263, in your opinion, what's the closest thing to real magic?
Therapy.
Wow. That's a fantastic answer. One I wish therapy. I would have said myself.
Therapy.
Taking it.
Like you go and you sit down with like a therapist and you go, they say, well, what's going on? And you tell them and then they go, huh, you ever think that maybe this is causing this? Because we talked about this. And you go, wait, what? No, I've never thought about that before. And then they give you a little exercise to do. And you actually start working your shit out. It's the weirdest, most beautiful thing. I would say therapy.
That's a fantastic answer. I'm stealing it. Absolutely therapy. As a person who's like, I don't need therapy. There's no reason I need to be here. And I went for all the wrong reasons. And I have a whole essay on this in my book, so I don't want to say too much. But I went for the wrong reasons. And what I went for came out... What ended up happening is the exact reason, opposite reason, that I ended up going for therapy. And I remember she was like, what brought you here? And I burst out crying. And I had no idea why. I couldn't. She goes, to the point where I alarmed her how hard I was crying. And she said, well, what is it? And I was like, I don't know. There's something about sitting on that couch, that tissue box in front of you, sitting in the chair, getting comfortable, just a simple question that's asked. I don't know if it's the way that it's being asked. I don't know if, I have no idea.
I don't know if it's the tone of voice. I don't know if it's the kind eyes. My therapist once said, hey, look at me. Like, meet my gaze. And I'm like, I don't want to cry. You know what I mean? It's therapy. Therapy is. All right, next question.
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful answer.
All right, Khalid_Smith24. Wants to know, who is somebody you see in heaven, or who is somebody you might see in heaven that could catch the fade? He provides an example, Mitch McConnell.
Why would I need to wait to then to catch the fade with Mitch McConnell? I'll box Mitch McConnell now.
That's a funny question.
The only problem, there's only one problem with boxing Mitch McConnell though. This is the problem, is when I'm boxing, which I got brand new boxing videos for you guys. When I'm boxing, I'm normally trying to hit people in the jaw, and he ain't got no jaw. He just got a big blob of face. And I don't mean to shame his blob face, but look, bring up Mitch McConnell right now. Bring him up. Look at a picture of, I don't mean to shame, I'm not blob face shaming.
Skin literally looks like it's falling off of his body.
Look at a picture of Mitch McConnell right now. Tell me if you see a discernible jaw there. There's no jaw. Look, ain't no jaw. Look at this. There's no jaw. He's a man without a jaw. Look at that. There's not a jaw. There's just like
a good picture of him.
That's one of the best pictures
I've ever seen. Get one where he's not smiling.
He's got no jaw. He's got more jowl than jaw. Shout out to Mitch McConnell. I'll definitely box you. You've held.
It's very Voldemort. Like.
Yeah, that's true though.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like falling. The skin is.
You think he knows magic? You think he knows dark magic? Because he also could. He could be Emperor Palpatine. Who is Emperor Palpatine?
No idea.
No clue.
None. Never heard of it.
$1 million. $1 million.
Give it to me one more time.
Who Emperor Palpatine? If someone said $1 million for you to know who Emperor Palpatine is, could you figure it out? Think about it. Try to get it. Emperor Palpatine. Who could that be?
No idea. Could be walking down the street and I'd have no idea who they were.
No clue. Well, he would know. He's a fictional character.
I figured that.
So you wouldn't know Emperor Palpatine. Emperor Palpatine is Darth Vader's boss.
Come on now. Like, why the hell would I know that? I barely know Darth Vader.
Darth Vader is a Sith but really a Sith apprentice.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
Sith Lord, whatever.
Get you gotta me. Stop.
Go to
like I thought we were still on Harry Potter. That was gonna be my guess.
I don't know nothing about Harry Potter. I'm gonna keep it all the way.
Well, I said Voldemort, and I don't either, but I know who that is.
I know Voldemort. Yeah. Go to D. Let's go to D from Molly. D. Oh. Oh, wait a second. I broke another promise. Let's see if we can get Kenz on. I told Kenz to come on the
Who's Kenz?
On the podcast. Kenz Nigger?
No, we got to figure out what is she going to don't say her last name. I want to hear how she says it.
Yeah, I forgot to give her the link. I told her to come on at 3 today. I forgot her to
wow,
give her.
Wow, she just still just link. Sitting by the computer waiting to
Donnie, give me the link. And if she sees it, maybe she could pop on real quick.
Okay, while you're doing that, what's the next question?
Oh, yeah, what's the next question?
All right, from Molly Dances. If you could pick one thing to be known for, what would it be instead of what you are now?
Wait, one thing to be known for, but it's not who we are right now? So maybe like something people don't know about us that we would... I'm struggling with this question.
I would like to be known for my dancing.
No, that's a joke. And
I'm a really good dancer.
You've said that before, Van. But the same way you start putting out these boxing videos, I just want you to record yourself dancing. Tay Diggs is doing it.
I'll do a dancing video with Tay.
No, that's going to take too long to happen.
No, it won't.
Fine.
Get Tay over here tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Excuse me for underestimating your friendship with Tay Diggs.
I know the guy 10 years. Like, I do a dancing, I do the dance, maybe longer now. Like, maybe like 12 years. I do a dancing video with Tay. Great. I want to be on Tay's TikTok.
That's what you want to be known for.
All right, you know what? We were supposed to get on with Kenz at 3. I dropped the ball again. We're not going to be able to
Sorry, Kenz.
Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
I do. The people of Sevierville, Tennessee. Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, and Dollywood. That's where I currently am. And I have to say, I didn't know what to expect coming out here. Not too many people that look like us. We're also a very blended family. I have to say, everyone here has been so nice, so welcoming. I would recommend coming out here to everyone. Come to Dollywood. It is an experience. We're out here in the middle of the mountains. I can see Smoky Mountains. I believe someone said the Blue Ridge Mountains. You wake up in the morning, you see the sun come up over the mountains. They are blue. It is so quiet. It is so peaceful. And the people have been so friendly. I love it out here. Unexpected ally of the week. You roll through Sevierville, you may not know what to expect. I got to tell you, it's been lovely. You know, have I seen Confederate flags? Absolutely. Have I seen the shirts that say kneel for the cross, stand for the anthem? Absolutely. But for the most part, people have been so friendly. Unexpected allies of the week.
Let me ask you this. Did you see Dolly Parton at Dollywood?
I did not. I saw lookalikes.
Is she just there? Just hanging out? Probably not, right?
No, she's not there.
Is Dollywood cool?
It's like a Six Flags.
Interesting.
Games, you know, food stands, roller coasters, bigger roller coasters than I expected. And like, it's Christmas time. So they have the park that it opens from the afternoon to the night. They have this beautiful assortment of lights, Christmas shows, singing. It's really a nice place. I really enjoyed myself out here.
Are there niggas?
More than you think.
I bet.
More than you think. Were they locals or tourists? I don't know. But I did see us.
You know what? You know who my unexpected ally of the week is?
Who?
For no apparent reason, Dolly Parton.
Great.
She's just great. She's always been solid, too.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to you, Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Kenz.
Sorry, Kenz.
I'm sorry, Kenz.
Kenz, if you want something done, you got to reach out to me.
Reach out to Rachel, Kenz, or reach out to Donnie.
Kenz, reach out to me. I will make sure you are on the next podcast.
Yeah, Kenz, reach out to the Higher Learning DM. I forgot all about it.
It'll happen again.
Enough. Taking the caps off the Don't Stop Learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lou Lindsay. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.